Over to Gensel. Down low left circle for Crosby. Back for Gensel. A drive. He scores! Jake Gensel over the glove hand to Swayman. And the Penguins strike first here in the third.
Zibanejad on with Sienkiewicz and Lafreniere. Zibanejad gets the shot up. He scores! It's a hat trick!
Torrey Krug in a 5-on-3 scenario. Ryan O'Reilly. Krug, one-timer. Hoffman, he scores! Mike Hoffman with a rocket! Power play goal! Blues back up by one.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Our Line Starts, fueled by Duncan. I'm joined by Keith Jones and Anson Carter today. What's up, guys? Ace looking all suave today.
Well, that's how we roll, KT. I was going to bring my glasses in right now, but I thought I'm going to
look at that.
Yeah.
Appreciate this.
I love it. Well, we have a lot to talk about because we are coming into the home stretch here of the regular season. And so I want to talk about some highs and lows to start things off. But first off, guys, you know, we had that great game on Sunday, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Boston Bruins. It was billed as a playoff type game. And then all of a sudden it was a 1-0 lead for the Pittsburgh Penguins in the third, a bit less offensive production than probably we thought, but this Penguins team looks real good right now. What specifically, Jonesy, in that game did you like about Pittsburgh that's been making them so dangerous down the stretch here?
I liked how they were willing to defend at the expense of taking offensive opportunities, and that's unusual for a highly skilled team. You often measure your game by how many times you're trying to put it past the opposition's netminder, not how much you're defending and doing the right thing in your own zone. So I give them a lot of credit. They're a well-coached team, and I thought it was a really disciplined effort. They didn't take a penalty, but they were disciplined in their defensive approach. And that led to the 1-0 win. So that's an important win for them. Some big points, and they keep the Bruins at least thinking about the New York Rangers below them.
Yeah, I thought when they're at home, Mike Sullivan didn't really shy away from that matchup. Perfection line for the Boston Bruins drives a lot of their offense. And having Sidney Crosby going head-to-head, that was the thing that I watched most of that afternoon game. And it was, you know, telling that Jake Gensel scored that goal. Gensel and Russ are tremendous, really solid defensive players. Sidney Crosby plays a 200-foot game, so you're going to have to make sure that you mind what you're doing in the defensive zone first when you're playing against those guys. The perfection line, they were perfect. They just couldn't score. And, you know, 1-0 game is a perfect example of what playoff hockey is going to look like in a few weeks.
Well, you guys mentioned the Boston Bruins, and, I mean, right on their tail right now are those New York Rangers playing tremendous hockey. You know, you look at the Bruins, and things are not perfect there right now. They're going to try and correct some of the issues they had on Sunday afternoon against the Penguins. But can they make the playoffs, Jonesy? Will they hold on to that fourth and final spot?
Yeah, I don't think the Rangers will get there. I think that they're going to make it close, though. I do think that it's going to go down to the last, I would say, three games of the season, maybe the last couple. But I think the Bruins managed to maintain their position. They do have a couple games in hand as well. And the Rangers, I think, are going to have a couple games in there that they're not going to perform to the same level that they have in some of their more recent performances, including the Zibanejad hat trick yesterday. They've got a lot of gifted offensive players. I think the loss of Jacob Trouba on the back end is going to prove to be too large of a loss as these games become that much more important in the next few days and weeks.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big test for the Rangers coming down the stretch here. I think they gained some valuable lessons last year, getting in that playoff postseason, playing against the Carolina Hurricanes. Didn't work out the way they expected to work out, but I agree with Jonesy. I think the Boston Bruins have way too much experience for them to falter. I think the New York Rangers still have young players that are going through this for the first time, like Alexei Lafreniere in particular, even though he showed that he's been making strides as a first-year player compared to what he was doing the first couple months of the season. But Tuukka Rask, I like him too much in net. that I don't think there's been any shortfalls in his game, and I really believe the Boston Bruins will get it done.
All right, in the West, the Avs, the Golden Knights, and the Wild have all clinched a playoff spot, so it's a race for that number four seed. Guys, let's take a look at the odds powered by PointsBet Sportsbook. And the odds to make the playoffs, you see St. Louis, minus 150, Arizona, L.A., San Jose, but all in the plus range there for the odds. And the Blues had an impressive come-from-behind win against the Avalanche on Saturday. Coyotes hanging around. Who makes a run to grab that final spot in the West, guys?
I think it's going to be the Blues. I think they're going to hold on to it. I think the odds are right. You know, you got to put up 150 to win 100, and that's telling you that St. Louis is clearly the favorite to get there. I think previous experience would tell us the Blues have enough there to get the job done. They are dealing with a lot of injuries on the blue line, though. Parayko out again. Not sure how long he'll be out for, but that's a gigantic loss. Vince Dunn's going to miss some time. Torrey Krug's a game time decision on one of their upcoming games. That's going to be an issue. So I think the Blues find a way to get it done based upon what they've done in the past and the fact that Ryan O'Reilly is leading the charge. But it's not going to be an easy thing to do. And it might be worth taking a pick on one of those longer shots. You might get some good return on your money.
I'm not really a gambling man, Jonesy, so I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to go with the St. Louis Blues also. Just because they have a lot of guys with Stanley Cup rings on those fingers. And Ryan O'Reilly showed me enough in that game against the Colorado Avalanche, a team who I think will be the Stanley Cup champion this year, that they still have enough moxie in that locker room that when they have to dig down deep and their backs up against the wall, the St. Louis Blues will still come through. Arizona, they're a scrappy team. I like the way they play. I always say Darcy Kuemper is one of the top five goalies in the National Hockey League. That hasn't really changed. And Jake Chychrun's game has really been taken to a whole different level, too, offensively in the back end. But if I had to pick one of those teams, I think the St. Louis Blues will get my bid for that final postseason spot in the National Hockey League out West.
Yeah, I kind of can't bet against them, right? That championship pedigree. We saw, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, the captain, the leader, willing his way to victory the other day with the hat trick performance against the Abs. So certainly St. Louis is a team to be reckoned with, and you can never rule out a team that's won a cup in the last 2 years. Let's think about the North Division for a second, because it's very interesting up there. We've seen it's been pretty top heavy most of the season with Montreal and Toronto at the top, but the Canucks, they've returned from this long pause dealing with COVID protocol and COVID actually within the locker room, not completely eliminated yet from the postseason, which is good news for Canucks fans. But you look at a team that's making a late run where they're not quite mathematically eliminated, and all of a sudden they're trying to gun for the postseason, and this is a team that probably wasn't expected to be there when they hit the pause, that long break for COVID. Ace, have you ever been on a team where you thought you were out of it, and then all of a sudden a late season surge, and all of a sudden you're back in the conversation for the playoffs?
No, but I was in a team that was out of it, and when the season was over, we were still out of it. To Boston. Coming from Washington, I was like a fourth line guy. I didn't really play that much. Myself and Jason Allison were young guys. We had a veteran club. Jonesy, I think, was like the second oldest guy on the team. He's the second youngest guy on the team. I think Jonesy was like 29 or 30. And we were 22 years old. So you can see this discrepancy between the ages on that team. So we were traded to Boston, and we thought it was a great opportunity to finally play. Ali, myself, and Jim Carrey weren't concerned with winning a Stanley Cup at that point in our career. We just wanted to establish ourselves as NHL players. So every chance we had to play spoiler against other teams, we're loose and flying every single night. There was zero pressure on our shoulders. All we had to do was prove we had to play the National Hockey League where other teams are fighting to get in. So I think that's the same mentality a lot of these other teams are looking at when they're on the outside looking in. You still have something you have to prove to the rest of the league and also to yourself and your teammates.
And the rare part here, guys, is just the number of games that they have left. How, you know, the number of games that they missed and were unable to play. And now they've got to catch them up in a really short period of time. I think that's why it becomes a little more unlikely that they will succeed in making it to the postseason. I just think it's too many games and too short a time. And I think they're going to run out of gas.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. The North, also interesting with the Leafs looking good. The Winnipeg Jets can't rule them out as well. So lots to look forward to in the North. Let's shift our attention now. It's time for the Cold Brew Check fueled by Dunkin', a three-team race in the Central Division between Carolina, Florida, and Tampa. Who is going to finish on top? Ace, lead it off.
As much as I want to see the Stanley Cup champions, Tampa Bay Lightning, I'm going to say the Carolina Hurricanes, because I don't think the Lightning really have much to prove right now. They don't have to win a division. They've already been there, done that. They've won a Stanley Cup already. I'm sure Coach Cooper might think about resting some of his players. And I think that young, hungry Carolina Hurricanes team has something to prove. They want to win a division title. They want to go in the postseason with some momentum going on their side. So I think Carolina is going to hold on and win that division.
I agree with you, Anson. I think they have just so many players that can contribute to their team's success. There's multiple options. They are, for the most part, healthy, and I think that's very important, and they play the same way every night. So there's been a lot of consistency to their game. There's no doubt in my mind that Carolina is good enough to do it, and I believe that they will. Florida without Aaron Ekblad, you've got to think that's going to cost them a couple games down the stretch, and Tampa continuing to be without Kucherov and Stamkos, and you think that's got to be worth a couple of losses along the way as well. So I'll go with Carolina, same as Ace.
All right, that was the Cold Brew Check, fueled by Dunkin'. This season, be sure to grab a cold brew for game time, because where there's hockey, there's Dunkin'. While we are still talking about the Carolina Hurricanes, I'm just curious, there's a lot of questions for next season for Carolina. You've got Dougie Hamilton, an unrestricted free agent. You've got their head coach, Rod Brind'Amour. And I wonder if this is a team that can remain intact as is, and if they can continue to do the building blocks necessary to be a championship team year in and year out. Do you expect the Carolina Hurricanes to retain those tremendous assets like Coach Brind'Amour, like Dougie Hamilton, and continue to be in the conversation for the championships?
I think they will definitely keep Rod Brind'Amour. I think they'll come to find some common ground. He loves being there. He loves coaching that team. He's a big part of the fabric of the Carolina Hurricanes. I would be shocked if he's not there. For Dougie Hamilton, he's going to get a heck of an opportunity because of what he's done. He's earned that right. He has established himself as one of the top defensemen in the National Hockey League, and he deserves to be paid accordingly. So I think he's going to look at all his options. I think Carolina would love to have him, but it's going to be a luxury that I think they're going to allow to move on, because they do have a lot of depth on their blue line, although they don't have another Dougie Hamilton. I'm sure that they would love to keep him, but I think the price is going to be too high.
I think in a normal year, it might be too high, but I think some GMs might try to drive that price down, saying, hey, this post-COVID, our revenues are down. But even in these years, your top players always find a way to get paid. So it really comes down to what Dougie Hamilton's looking for. Is he wanting a chance to win, or is he wanting an opportunity to cash in? We saw Torey Krug wanting to cash in, and he signed that big ticket in St. Louis, where he was in a pretty good spot in Boston these last few years. So I think Dougie Hamilton stays there, but I think Rod Brind'Amour stays also. But they have to pay him. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure if the owner wants to pay market value for Rod Brind'Amour, and I think only time will tell. They've done a tremendous job so far with their on-ice product. Now, will they realize they have to reinvest in that to keep it where it's going right now? Season ticket sales have gone up. Attendance has gone up before we've had this pause and before we've had no fans in buildings. And the momentum is going the right direction for the Hurricanes. They got to keep it going the right direction. They can't afford to let Roddy Brind'Amour walk away, or even Dougie Hamilton walk away, because any kind of slip in production in the standings could affect their bottom line with people coming to games and their attendance.
Yeah, you could also add Alex Petrangelo in that conversation about players going elsewhere, getting paid, going to another contender in Vegas last season after a storied career with the St. Louis Blues. And while we're on the topic of defensemen, guys, a huge milestone for Zdeno Chara this week with his 1,600th NHL game. A lot of heavy minutes logged by Big Z, and of course, a championship won by him as well. I mean, Jonesy, put into perspective what this milestone is for 42-year-old Zdeno Chara.
I love the guy, man. I love everything he's done throughout his career. He continues to impress me on a nightly basis. I think the Capitals are a better team this year, and Chara's got a lot to do with that. He solidified their blue line like he has done for every blue line that he's played on. Incredibly fit athlete who just continues to find ways to be a productive player, a responsible player, and a fabulous human being. So he's one of my favorites of all time. So happy to see that he's still going, and I hope he plays another 5 years.
You say 1,600 games, KT? back when he gets a 1,700 like Patrick Marleau. No, all jokes aside. No, Big Z. Exactly what Jonesy said. He brings a lot to the table. I think the Boston Bruins miss him. Even though he's not going to play or he doesn't play as much as he has in the past, I think that voice and that presence in the room and on the blue line is certainly missed by the Boston Bruins. You know, they've got Miller in the back end who brings some toughness to the table. I don't think his knees will be able to hold up, but Big Z's been tremendously durable over the course of his career. So I'd like to see him hoist Lord Stanley's Cup again in Washington if he gets an opportunity. He's one of the best individuals in the league.
Storyline from this week, surpassing Gordie Howe for the most games played all time, an incredible milestone. And then a very emotional Patrick Marleau. I mean, Ace, I had a hard time watching some of his pregame and postgame interviews because he got very choked up, and rightfully so. This is a long career he's played with many different players across the board, a lot of sacrifices from his family at home to allow him to be playing this great game that he loves. And it was just great to see the passion that he still has for the game, saying he's still wants to continue to play, but also the acknowledgement of players around the league that gave him a nod on that milestone day.
Patty's very well respected. I played with him on Team Canada. If he wasn't breathing, you wouldn't know he was still alive in the locker room. He's so quiet. He's so low maintenance, but he's such a great, humble person. And he does love the game. That's the only reason why he could play this long, KT, because you got to think about all the time, the preparation that goes into getting ready to play the regular season. The training, getting up at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning and putting your body through all that stress just to get ready to play those games. I knew when it was time for me to retire because I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing that anymore. So the fact that he still embraces that and loves that, it came through in those words. He couldn't hold back that emotion because you could tell he truly loves being an NHL player.
Well said, Ace. I mean, there's not a lot left to say about Patrick Marleau. I think that last week really said everything. And I would agree with both of you guys. Very impressive how he handled things. It was great to see how emotional he was, mostly because of the response from other players that have played in the National Hockey League and the guys that he's playing against right now. And he's played against most guys that have played in the National Hockey League. It's 37% of the players that ever played in the NHL Marleau played against. So he has earned the respect that he's been given by not only the way he's played the game, but the way that he's presented himself on and off the ice.
And he's one of the few players in the league still, Jonesy, that you actually played against. Is that correct?
Yeah. you talked about two of them. Zdeno Chara was another one too. So, and Joe Thornton's still going. So let's keep those guys going.
Yeah, keep those guys going. All right, finally, guys, Andrew Shaw announced his retirement. 2 Stanley Cups with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's leaving the game due to some concussion issues. But what an unbelievable player who found a way to make an impact on a championship team twice, you guys, and then went on and had a great career. The style that he played, the tough way he played, I think it's appropriate we give him a nod and congratulate him on his retirement now.
Big part of those Stanley Cup championships with the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, he was a heart and soul type player. He was also a productive guy. He scored some big goals, saw some power play minutes, killed penalties, and took hits and gave hits. He was a game changer. He was a momentum changer, and you don't win cups without those type of players. So sorry that he has to go under these circumstances. Wish him well with his health in the future and congratulate him on an excellent career.
And he was a young guy, Jonesy. only 29 years old. It's not like he's 35, 36, 37. So that only speaks to how hard he played the game, the battles. And he wasn't a big man either. Andrew Shaw was an undersized forward, but you wouldn't tell by the way he played and carried himself on the ice. So there's no way the Chicago Blackhawks win those Stanley Cups without a player like Andrew Shaw, that grit and the determination, that lineup. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, and certainly we wish him the best and wish him the best of health as well as he moves on to the next chapter of his life. I know he's a dad and a husband, so all the best to Andrew Shaw. That's going to do it, guys, for us here on Our Line Starts. Hope you all enjoyed the conversation at home, and we'll see you next time for Our Line Starts, fueled by Dunkin'.